Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I always enjoy the Old Testament reading for the Sunday after Easter from Ezekiel 37, the rattling of the dry bones. The picture painted by the prophet Ezekiel is that there is absolutely no life in those bones. Skeletons, bones scattered over a battlefield, dead. Dead as dead can be. And then the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Speak to those dry bones and say, dry bones, rise up." And what happens? The bones start rattling and they come together and the sinews join the bones and there's flesh upon them. And then he breathes into them the breath of life. It is not only a picture of the resurrection, wherein new life in the resurrection is 100% dependent upon the Lord and what he has done. It is also connected inextricably to the resurrection of faith out of unbelief. There is only one thing that creates faith out of unbelief, and that is the word of the gospel. Peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven. St. Paul said in Ephesians 2, you who had formerly not been Christians, who had formerly not believed in Christ, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see the corollary? The turning away from God's word is what plunged us into death and separation from God in the first place. Now, when Jesus stepped into the upper room and spoke that word, "Peace be with you," he spoke that word into the teeth of unbelief. And he raised them spiritually from the dead. And by that word that they received in the upper room, he would raise them from the dead on the last day, as he will raise us from the dead, when the bones will rattle and the flesh will be transformed from immortality and corruption to incorruption and immortality. The exuberant joy of the resurrection of our Lord is directly related to the suffering and anguish of the heart that preceded it. It's the same in our own lives. Think about the disciples of Jesus. Think about the band of faithful women who attended him in those months and years leading up to his crucifixion. Oh, they had witnessed wonderful things. Healing the sick, raising the dead, spectacular events in Jesus' ministry. But Jesus' ministry of healing flowed from an unprecedented display of mercy and compassion for sinners in their afflictions. And it is that mercy and compassion which is the heart of the word that brings new life out of death. Jesus loved those he served. This is something that the troubled Christian, tormented by a guilty conscience, sometimes, oftentimes, fails to grasp. How could the Lord love me? Well, he does love you more than you can possibly love yourself. Not because you have no sin, but because he came to bear the burden of your sin and to redeem you with his precious blood. He felt the full burden of sin. your sin and what all of humanity brought upon itself in Adam's fall. This is why the people to whom Jesus ministered loved him. It is why we love him too. So when the events of Holy Week unfolded, their joy was turned to sorrow. This will be another gospel reading coming up in Eastertide. For them, Palm Sunday was filled with such promise. It seemed as if everyone loved him. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And then 5 days later, crucify him, crucify him. And the women and the disciples and those who still believed in Jesus felt their world unraveling before them. Have you felt as if your world has been unraveling before you over the past year? When he died, it seemed as if every reason for joy had been taken away. They saw their Lord enduring unimaginable suffering. So for them, like us so often, it seemed as if nothing was certain any longer. Bewilderment, doubt, fear, anxiety, sorrow, depression, grief, guilt, shame. All of these kinds of swirlings of emotions are indicative of what it is to be a sinner, and at the heart of sin is that unbelief. Remember St. John's words, the victory that overcomes the world is faith. So where there's despair and grief and sorrow and anguish of heart, there is the assault of unbelief that threatens to drown faith. The women wept, the men were drained of courage, and they did not know what to do or what to think. And we find ourselves in similar situations, depending on what we're going through in our lives. Now, we know, as I spoke about last week in the Easter service, hindsight is 20/20. You know, we know that all was not lost. Even for the disciples, it seemed as if it were. In fact, the very suffering and death of Jesus, and this is very important, that robbed them of their joy, was actually the cause of their salvation. You get the point? The crucifixion, which robbed them of their joy when they saw Jesus suffering, is that by which forgiveness, new life, and resurrection was won for them. If that is true in the ministry of Jesus, it is also true in your life as a Christian. God brings good out of suffering. So the love of Jesus is seen for us quintessentially in his suffering and death. There upon the cross, he suffered the penalty for our sin. There he won forgiveness. This is the love of God that the people experienced. In every miracle of Jesus, and we make a mistake when we don't connect the miracles of Jesus with the cross. Because every ministry of mercy in those healing miracles, which are signs and a foretaste of the resurrection, are anchored in his victory over sin and death in the cross. This is the love of God the disciples heard in the upper room when he washed the disciples' feet, laying aside his garments. He wasn't ashamed to be associated with sinners, not those tax collectors that he ate with and not those fishermen disciples that he called to be his ministers. And this is the love of God that you and I receive when our Savior's word is spoken to us. It is the word that restores faith, the faith in Christ that gives us victory. So they were locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And the resurrected Lord Jesus, in his state of immortality and incorruptibility, simply stepped into the room and spoke a word that is the sweetest word that can ever be spoken by the Son of God, our Savior. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. It is a word of pure grace. If you hear that word spoken to you when you are troubled by your sins and a guilty conscience, you have no sin to fear. you have no judgment or condemnation of hell to fear. That word creates faith and love for Jesus, the very victory that overcomes the world and that raises the dead. Doubt and fear are powerful things, aren't they? Thomas, who was not there on Easter night, insisted upon seeing the marks in Jesus' hands and feet. He insisted upon putting his hands in Jesus' side. I want to know that the body of my Lord that died upon the cross is the same body that is risen from the dead. And it was. So a week later, while the apostles were gathered in the upper room and Thomas was with them, Jesus appeared. And it's very important to understand what it is that Thomas and the 12 witnessed. It was not merely the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, physically, bodily, which it was. But they recognized the fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures, every word that Jesus spoke. They were eyewitnesses. This is one of the reasons why Thomas had to see, because Jesus said, you would see. But then Jesus adds the promise, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, and that's you. And I'm here today to tell you, for the sake of faith, in the midst of the darkness of unbelief, a guilty conscience in the face now of a word of absolution, when Jesus speaks his word to you today, you have no less of the blessing than Thomas did when he touched his hands and his side. In fact, you will touch him, his body here as it is placed into your mouth, and his blood as it is received upon your lips. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Doubt and fear are powerful things. But Jesus' word, peace be with you, is at the heart of the water of holy baptism. It is at the centerpiece of the banquet of salvation, the medicine of immortality in the Lord's Supper. It is what you need to hear when you are assaulted by a guilty conscience and Satan, that great accuser, points the finger at you. Peace be with you. Your Lord says, I have taken your sin, and therefore I have taken your death. And because he died, you are set free from eternal death and condemnation. Peace to you is more powerful than any word imaginable. Jesus' word of peace restores faith, takes away fear, and gives us the gift of salvation. You he made alive, St. Paul said, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So you come here today to receive a word and to receive a sacrament that raises you from the death of unbelief to the new life of faith. Peace be with you. And you are here today to receive a pledge and token of Christ's resurrection in you. For when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised incorruptible. And the fount of that new life is Jesus' words, peace be with you. Peace be with you, and with this word he breathes his Holy Spirit upon you, forgiving your sin, taking away your fear, restoring your hope. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So let us, like newborn babes, drink in the pure milk of the Word. It is the medicine of resurrection and new life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.